my antenna went up, because as you know, you cannot pass a zoning regulation that allows for a specific business to happen. So I knew that for whatever reason, the neighbors thought that it was an error, at least in assuming that they were going to get a Gold's Gym. And in fact, during the testimony, Mr. Amy said, I never promised a Gold's Gym. In fact, he said last week, because of the economy and a number of other factors, I may have to sell the building. So I don't know that everybody heard everything he said. Maybe they did, but I don't know that everybody appreciated what he was saying, but I did. And the conclusion I drew and have drawn is that we are doing a rezoning between Southeast 12th and Southeast 60th to allow for what the neighborhood thinks is an athletic facility that's going to come in there. And even if that were to happen, I would tell you that Gold's Gym has been in and out of a number of neighborhoods in Portland and currently has no facilities in Portland. So I feel an obligation to use my experience in these matters to respectfully disagree with the neighborhood, because I foresee something happening on that site, if not immediately, at some point in the future, that they will be very, very unhappy with, that they had the foresight to see as a potential issue when they lobbied for us in 2005 to adopt the zoning language that they did to allow just for small businesses. Now, having said that, the solution is clear to me for this issue. I mean, what the zoning regulation did not say is it didn't prohibit having a new goals type of gym exist on the property. What it did was outline a process. And it was interesting to me that the developer called the appeal to LUBA an unintended consequence. And I reminded him that that was not an unintended consequence. The language was set up specifically to create an opportunity for those that didn't agree with the kind of business that was going to go there to appeal the decision. And so it wasn't an unintended consequence, but a well-thought-out consequence of exactly what's happening. But interestingly, when LUBA decided the case, they didn't deny Gold's Gym from going into the space. What they did was they remanded it back to the city and said, define for us, LUBA, what it means by a locally serving business, I think was the language. And what we simply need to do, and what my argument was last week, was let's just define that and send it back to LUBA, and they can have the Gold's Gym. And in fact, the reconstituted plan for the Gold's Gym on the site went from a 33,000 square foot proposal down to a 20,000 square foot proposal now. So it is, I think, a proposal that should be approved. And I support the approval. In fact, I will tell you, my staff approved that at the Bureau of Development Services, and I support that. I think it is a huge mistake for us to throw out the entire zoning code from 12th to 60th to accomplish a Gold's Gym that people think they may get, but they may not get at this site, when there is a more thoughtful way to accomplish the same thing, yet preserving the language for the entire stretch between 12th and 60th. There are at least three or four other sites that if this zoning language changes, one specifically on the corner of Southeast 39th and Division, that is currently a Walgreens, I believe, or a Rite Aid, used to be a Keno store, that I will tell you that if we change the zoning code, I do not see why a big box developer wouldn't come in, take an advantage of this relaxed code requirement, and put who knows what on that site. So I would ask that we go ahead and vote on this with direction to send it back to staff for us to come up with a more, what I think would be a targeted solution for the site, and not throw out the whole zoning code on that stretch of the road.
So, Randy, let me, I think the public should know that the council has been preoccupied with some other matters the last few days.
Yeah.
In fairness, we've been planning.
Not all the council.
Pardon me?
Not all the council.
Well, you've been running the city. We've been dealing with new bureau assignments, public, yes, announcements, and some other things. And that, I will tell you, has taken a lot of staff capacity, a lot of time. You gentlemen know that on issues like this, I am often the one saying I would benefit from a council discussion. I've done it even regardless of my position on the issue, and I don't seek any advantage in having this conversation. And other than having a better understanding, Randy, of your position from the emails that you kindly copied me on, I frankly don't know where my other colleagues are on this, and I would welcome their input. So I have two issues. One is I would prefer we discuss this as a council of the whole.
Okay.
And second, to the extent that you believe there is an alternative that has been outlined in the emails,
mm-hmm.
I would like to have a chance to bring planning, BDS, Hannah Kuhn of my office, who does
sure.
my thinking of the left brain and the right brain, together to have that conversation. And I would be more comfortable following that approach and bringing this back for a time certain for us to take up the issue.
And I'm happy to do that if we can agree that there be enough time for us to thoughtfully put those kinds of efforts into trying to look at what alternatives be, which would mean sometime after the first of the year.
Well, if we did that, I think our next meeting is the 7th or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we're under any compelling time clock on that. We could I'd be happy to do that.
Okay.
To if you would join in a motion to set this over to the 7th,
yes.
time certain. And then I hope that also means you'll take me up on my offer
yes.
to educate me on your position.
Yes.
I was prepared to vote for this today, but I, out of respect, would like to know if there's another path that gets us there. Mayor, are you accepted?
I think you made a compelling argument.
Thank you.
Randy. I think we could vote on that, move it to January 7th, and you
right.
first could resolve it.
I appreciate
time.
It. Thank you.
So do we do this?
Your motion?
So move. To
second.
The...
Please call a vote.
Fish.
Aye.
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 Great. Thank you.
Now, I guess for anyone who's here from the community on that issue, we ask for your forbearance, but we want to get this thing right, and I think that this council has demonstrated we'll go the extra mile to give colleagues a chance to understand each other's positions.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Nate has asked us on the TriMet youth pass issue if we could remove the emergency so that we could vote on it today so they could proceed with that.
I think it would go to a second reading.
Go to a second reading.
The emergency.
Yes.
On the 24th.
It would go to a second reading on the 24th, and then if the council believed it necessary, an emergency clause could be put back on to have
on
it
the 24th.
On the 24th.
So I just want to understand the implications of doing this. If we don't have an emergency on it, it means it has to wait 30 days to go.
Right. It would go into effect 30 days after.
It could be added back on next week.
Okay.
But you want sort of the council's.
It's important that the council indicate its support to the other jurisdictions that are part of the intergovernmental agreement at this point.
So there's no problem if it doesn't go into effect till January 24th? Okay.
Operationally, it'll be okay.
Okay. So moved to remove the emergency
second.
Clause.
Call a vote. Okay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nate?
So this will pass the second reading next week.
Correct. Please come forward.
Right. Yeah.
Please read the item 1751.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Portland Public Schools and the Tri-Public Education District Board to offer fearless public transportation for students at five public high schools and 11 alternative charter schools with the intention of measuring results in the program.
And I believe you have an additional amendment. In addition to removing the emergency,
I don't have that with me.
Okay.
And
all of the council offices have also received it. The item that you have in front of you is for an expansion to five high schools plus 11 alternative schools. Due to the tightness of the business energy tax credit market, we're not expanding as quickly, and as largely as we had originally intended. So the one school to be added with this item, in addition to Jefferson and Franklin High Schools, is Roosevelt High School. And that amendment has been submitted to the clerk's office as well.
I have a motion to accept.
Motion.
Second.
Call the vote.
Aye.
Go ahead, Nate.
I'm Nate Waschel from Mayor Potter's office. Thank you for your patience on this item. We appreciate it. It is important that it gets through at this time, as students are hoping to receive their passes by the start of January. So thanks for bearing with us procedurally on this one. You're familiar with this item. It's come to council. This is its third time as we bring the project up to scale. Just a brief overview of what this is. You heard from the Multnomah Youth Commission in June about a project that they had begun working on to request your support in the form of a resolution for the vision of creating fareless public transit for youth in the city. And I should note that there are several youth commissioners who would have liked to have been here who were unable to due to the weather. At that time when the Youth Commission came to you, you responded with a resounding unanimous yes in support of the vision and the idea. And then in September, you approved a pilot project to begin offering the passes to two schools, Jefferson and Franklin High School, as a pilot project. The positive response at these schools has been overwhelming, coming from students who appreciated increased access to school, after-school activities and jobs, coming from families who no longer had to choose between sending money to school with their kids for lunch or for bus fare, from principals who've offered stories about improved attendance from individual students because of their bus pass, even from neighbors who have welcomed the reduced parking congestion on streets around the schools. We're here today with a mid-year expansion of the program to include students at Roosevelt High School, one of the city's strongest, most vibrant, and also neediest schools. We're thrilled to extend this program to Roosevelt today, but it's also a bittersweet expansion because, as I mentioned, we had originally intended to expand even more broadly. As I mentioned, the funding for the tax credit market has simply tightened in today's economic climate. And so the size and quickness with which we're able to expand this program to more students is limited. Nonetheless, we're pleased and proud to be partnering with U.S. Bank for this effort. And in the coming months, we will work aggressively to explore even broader options for the funding and preservation of this program. At this point, I'd like to introduce a good friend of mine, Ryan Owenby, a sophomore at Jefferson High School, who's here to share a little bit about the impact of the program on him and on his fellow students.
Well, like Nate just said, my name's Ryan Owenby. I'm a sophomore at Jefferson High School. I really love this bus pass because now, instead of the $24 a month that I had to spend on a bus pass, I can spend it on warm clothes. It's getting really cold now. I've also noticed that people, not just the students at my school, have had an overall positive outlook on the free bus passes. My favorite teacher, Mr. Kulak, said one day in class, he said that he had heard somebody talking about rowdy kids on the bus. And he gave the class a speech that day. He said that TriMet had given us a very big gift, and they could easily take that away. And since then, I haven't seen a single outburst on the bus, so that's also cool. I have friends at Roosevelt High School that would really like a free bus pass because, like me, they can't really, you know, afford the $24 a month. Thanks for your help.
Thank you, Ryan.
By the way, I appreciate your testimony. I take the 10 and the 12 bus pretty regularly, and I frequently see adults misbehave, but not so much kids. So I appreciate you held your fire on that.
Other questions? Anybody to testify on this issue? Is anybody here who wishes to testify this specific issue?
I have one other question, Mayor. Nate, are you growing a beard?
I feel that's an irrelevant question.
The mayor rules that order.
Yeah, we traded. To answer that question, by the way.
The mayor and I traded beards.
Traded. So. I know he shaved, yeah. And now you're growing one.
So. He's my son. Thank you, Nate. Thanks, Ryan. This moves to a second reading next week. Thank you
very much.
We're adjourned.
We have other ordinances.
There are other items, Your Honor.
Yes. Which other items?
Don't we have 1763,
64, 65, 66.
We have 63 to 66.
69.
Oh, geez.
We have all kinds of them.
Yes, that was wishful thinking, wasn't it? Okay. Let's go ahead and 1763.
Good afternoon. This is a street vacation that is part of the Concordia University Master Plan, and Sue's got the photos for you. City Engineer and Planning Commission recommend approval, and we are prepared to move forward if you don't have any questions or any objections.
Any questions? Have there been any objections from any quarter in the community?
No.
Thank you. Anyone signed up testifying this issue?
No one signed up.
It's a non-emergency, moves to a second reading. Please read item 1764.
Assess benefited properties for improvements in Portland Street and Lowell for extension and local.
Good morning or afternoon or wherever we are. for the record, my name is Vicki Deedy. I'm with the Bureau of Transportation, and I'm the city's project manager for Portland Streetcar. What you have before you today is the assessing ordinance for the Lowell Extension Project. It was final completion was in April of this year. I think the salient factor, probably the most important issue for the council to consider, is that we have one remonstrance to the allocation of the assessment. And it comes from Rick Sato, who is a partner in one of the properties. The objection he raised is to the apportionment of the assessment against the property. And he points out that since the formation ordinance for the LID, that much planning has advanced regarding street improvements in the South Waterfront, specifically as it relates to the proposed South Portal project. The South Portal project improvements have been identified in two future phases, the second phase of which will extend Bond southerly from Bancroft, and then it would then traverse a portion of Mr. Sato's property. And he believes that this future right-of-way should be recognized in the LID assessment calculation and that the assessment should be reduced. The findings are that the proposed South Portal projects were incorporated into the updated South Waterfront District Street Plan in April of this year, but based on a conceptual level of design. There's a difference in the street plans for those streets north of Bancroft than south of Bancroft. North of Bancroft, they're a part of the Central District Development Plan. South of Bancroft, it is a part of the South Portal Plan. And again, the South Portal plans are in the street plans as a proposal. The South Portal transportation analysis recommends a two-phase construction project for South Portal improvements, with phase one consisting of improvements to Southwest Moody south of Bancroft in such a way that Moody can operate in two-way traffic until Bond is built. Phase two then would extend Bond south of Bancroft and provide for the conversion to a Moody Bond one-way couplet. The extension of Bond Avenue in Phase 2 will run between the property that Mr. Sato owns and the property immediately adjacent to it to the east, but no dimensions or exact locations have been determined. The construction of Phase 1 and Phase 2 are dependent on funding, availability of right-of-way, the actual streetcar alignment south of Bancroft anticipated as an extension to Lake Oswego, and other policy issues within transportation. Specific to Phase 2, the intent would be to purchase right-of-way for the full implementation of the Phase 2 improvements. If, however, redevelopment occurs on any site adjacent to the probable Bond Avenue before full implementation, Bond may need to be constructed as a local street for local access and circulation needs only. And I would point out, too, that the conceptual project cost estimates for both Phase 1 and Phase 2 include a cost for right-of-way acquisition. In fact, those costs are $7 million out of $32 million for Phase 1 and $11 million out of $18 million for Phase 2, because there is one parcel that just basically gets wiped out. And the last finding I have is that the benefit to the subject property will add value to the subject property, and then that increased value would be realized through a right-of-way acquisition should the Phase 2 project be constructed on the property. And it is the recommendation that the council accept the findings that are indicated in your Exhibit G that I just reviewed, and that the final ordinance be passed, including the directive to overrule any and all objections.
I just had a question about the assessment.
Yes.
Will that occur before other funding sources are identified, or will that be implemented immediately?
This is the final assessment. The formation has been taken care of. The project is done. What will go out now after council approval is the bills, at which point...
I thought I heard you say that there were you had to identify other sources of funding.
Oh, that would be for the South Portal work, which is the property that's involved that Mr. Sato owns that he believes that we should skinny up. And that whole funding package has to come together as a whole before they'd be able to build it. Did that answer your question, Mayor?
Well, I'm not sure.
I'm sorry.
I'm just wondering, in terms of when we assess these properties, will the other funding be in place so that after the assessment that the total amount necessary to complete the project?
I understand it. By law, we cannot do a final assessment on a project until it's complete.
Okay.
Such that there's assurances to the property owner that we're not going to take their money and then not build a project.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other questions from commissioners? Thank you. Was anyone signed to testify on this matter?
No one.
It's a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. Thank you. Please read item 1765. Second reading, call the vote.
Fish. Aye.
Leonard. Aye.
Aye. Please read item 1766.
Assess benefited properties to street improvements in the North Mutual Street.
Second reading, call the vote.
Fish. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Aye. I think the only remaining one is item 1769.
Correct.
Please call the vote. Excuse me, read it. Second reading, call the vote.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Recess until next week.
Hey, Randy.
Yep. I cannot believe that Christmas is next week. I just cannot believe it.
By the way, that's a beautiful.
That really is. That was wow.
Oh, I didn't